Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. I'm very pleased to have with me today on University Matters, Charles Youssef from the University's Institute for Sustainable Energy. And he's here to talk to us about his research into the energy performance of buildings. Just a few words about my guest. Charles Youssef has BSc Honours, Mechanical Engineering, he has an MPhil in Energy Technology, and back in 1993 here in Malta he was already researching into the installing and testing of solar voltaic and standalone grid-connected stationary and tracking systems and vertical PV systems, and was the first to reinstate Malta's long-term solar radiation monitoring program in 1993 after a two-decade data gap. He's an assistant lecturer, as I said, at the Institute for Sustainable Energy. He's adjunct associate professor in the Department of Integrated Science and Technology at James Madison University in Virginia. He's honorary secretary of the Malta Energy Efficiency and Renewal Energies Association, a member of the Malta Chamber of Engineers, and of the European Federation of National Engineering Association. And he's also a registered energy performance assessor of buildings. He's the author and co-author of many papers, articles and chapters on the subject, obviously, of his research. Welcome to University Matters, Charles.
Thank you for your invitation.
This is clearly an extremely topical subject, and it seems that people are finally waking up to the potential of alternative energies in general here in Malta. But there is still perhaps quite a bit of confusion in people's minds about what we're talking about, because there are different types of renewable energy, and your research is directed in one particular direction. And perhaps you could talk about your particular research, what you're doing, where it's going, etc., and then perhaps put it in more of a general context so that we can see where it fits in, really, with what's going on out there.
For many years, I have been researching on solar systems and trying to optimize its performance for the Maltese climate. That included solar heating systems and also solar photovoltaic systems for electricity generation. When I started research back in 1992, that time there was the boom of ICT, electronics, computers, and everybody said, why are you researching such a topic that nobody is talking about? Today, one can see the opposite. Solar energy is becoming very popular. This year our institute has started an MSc course, and we already have over 30 persons who applied for this course, which is impressive. And however, within those years, I have realized one thing. It's easy to go up to a shop, buy a solar heater, install it, eliminate your electric geyser, and save energy. The same goes for photovoltaics. There are government support grants, and you go buy a photovoltaic system, put it up on the roof, and that's it. I realized that if you just concentrate on renewables, you could end up not saving energy, but actually spending more energy, because you will have the impression that now it's free of charge, and therefore I can do what I want. I can live how I like. And within that context, you can end up wasting energy. And that is not really the scope of the European Union Energy and Renewable Energy Directive and the most recent what we call Energy Performance of Buildings Directive. Now, somebody else might argue, okay, let's do energy efficiency. Let's switch off the lights and stay in the dark. Or let's not use our air conditioning in summer because the electricity price is now higher, and therefore I'll stay and sweat. But that will be reducing our quality of life and will make us suffer. So the best way is really to marry those two research areas together. it's not only energy efficiency, because with energy saving and energy efficiency, we could end up losing our quality of life. And it's not only renewables, because with renewables only, you could really miss the boat. Since I made so many years in research on renewable energy, now I'm focusing more on energy efficiency and how we could actually make our buildings more energy efficient and more habitable in a way.
And how do you go about your research?
This new area of research really started a few years back when the European Union realized that over 40% of the energy consumed in Europe is actually consumed in homes, in houses, in buildings in general. In Malta, it's around 33% of that energy used, especially electricity, is being used in domestic homes. And that's a lot. Not only because it's a lot, but because the domestic people, the houses, are responsible of what we call peak loads. That means everybody leaves home at the same time in the morning, and everybody comes back at the same time. And therefore, when we come back home, we end up using the same appliances at the same time, and that creates problems for the power station, and also because it makes the power station operate at not at the optimum efficiency. And therefore, there are new and innovative ways how one can control energy performance, energy efficiency of the building, and that's where I'm researching.
And there must be, obviously there's a theoretical side to this, and there's an applied, hands-on side to it. So I suppose you're doing both of those things.
Exactly. The most of our research really is what we call applied research. That means we try to go into areas where the end product will be something useful for the population, for the country. Now, when we talk about energy performance of buildings, to put it in simple words, we are talking about making our buildings or labeling our buildings like what we know today, labeling our fridges, washing machines, and air conditioning systems. Today, if you go and buy a system from the market, they will tell you this is class A plus A, B, and C. And everybody today knows that class A consumes less power than class B. The same is being now applied to buildings. We need to classify them into different categories. And that is not the end of the story. The EU directive and the recast, that means the update, which was approved on the 18th of May of this year, actually says, okay, first we will need to label those buildings, but then we will make a mandatory legislation where if you buy or sell a house, you have the right to know what class is this house before buying it or before selling it. And the reason for that is because if you buy a cheap house which is rated F, that means it's it has thin walls, it has single glass window panes, its roof is very slim, it's too hot in summer and too cold in winter, you will end up spending a lot of money on your electricity and energy bills throughout the lifetime of that building, with the end result that the total energy consumed, not only in building the house, but also in living and using it, is much higher than actually building an energy efficient house where it is shaded, with double glazing, with insulation on the roof, with some solar heating installed, with energy efficient lights, with efficient appliances inside. You will end up saving a lot of money. One of the research that I have just finalized last year shows that the potential of a typical house in Malta to reduce its energy bill could range between 20 and 90%. We could save between 20 and 90% of our electricity bill in Malta if we upgrade our buildings. We are not saying put it down and build it again. That is not the scope.
That was going to be my question, in fact, because if you're talking about EU directives, laws for new buildings, that's one thing. But obviously, we've got an awful lot of buildings that were built either hundreds of years ago or in the last 100 years, which would need upgrading. I mean, that's a huge job.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the difference between the original 2002 EU directive and the new recast, the new update, was phenomenal. First of all, they are now including all types of buildings into this energy performance of buildings directive. And when we say all buildings, it means also historical buildings. Now, it's a challenge, but it's also a way forward where we realize that in Europe there are many historical cities, there are many historical buildings, and these should in a way be integrated in modern life and be and have the same rights to use less energy. Naturally, some of our building regulations will have to be improved, changed, updated, to make sure that while we would like, for example, in Malta to keep our facades Maltese stones, because it's part of our characteristics of the building, we also try and see how to integrate energy-saving appliances, energy-saving systems into those historical buildings without changing the characteristic facade, let's put it that way.
Exactly, because there you've got it. You've got it ready-made, yes. And whatever you're putting in is going to be an addition, and you've got aesthetic problems, physical problems of not being able to put holes in walls and things.
Yes.
A great challenge, I imagine.
Indeed. And in fact, today in Europe, when you renovate an old building, they keep the facade using hydraulic support intact. Do the renovation inside or around the building, and then connect the new construction to the original facade. So there are means and ways how you can preserve the facade, especially the facade, while changing the building itself from inside. Yeah, and the recast also said, okay, it's not only a matter of classifying the buildings, it's not a matter of only including all buildings, but it's also a matter of including all buildings of all footprint. The original directive was limited to buildings above 1,000 square meters. The new directive says no, we have to go even lower. And they have realized, of course, that many buildings are smaller than 1,000 square meters, and if you don't include them, then you will not have the potential of reducing at least 8% of Europe's energy consumption by 2020. So
that's the aim.
Yes. Now, another important part of the directive is not only in the building envelope, but also in large cooling and heating systems. There was a consensus that large heating and cooling systems, basically central heating and cooling for banks or for hotels and for cinemas and so on, many times work for many years without real maintenance. And with the result that their efficiency drops and they would start consuming much higher power. And with this directive now, these large systems will have to be maintained by experts and sort of they must have also a logbook where it can be verified that every 2 years these systems are operating and operating at the best optimum efficiency.
Like a sort of VRT for houses.
Indeed, exactly. And to do that, all member states must train experts in the field of energy performance of buildings, and also must produce some sort of software that these experts can utilize to produce the energy certificates for buildings. And the important part is that these methodologies must be transparent in a way that if we take two identical or very similar buildings, we should expect that by the end of the day, if two different experts use this software, they will come up with similar results. Otherwise, it will not be fair on the building. And to do that, it's a lot of work, because what happened, every country started using a different type of software, and we ended up in 2009 with a lack of harmonization. With this new recast directive, we are trying that by 2015 there will be some sort of harmonization, some sort of consensus, what software to use best, and so that we can also compare buildings across Europe and not only in the country itself.
And here in Malta, how far are we down the road to compliance?
Yes, in fact, we have moved quite fast during the past 2 years. Once the department within the Ministry for Resources and Rural Affairs have been assigned with training the experts and also preparing the software. Today, we know how much a certificate will cost, and today also we have at the ministry the software in place and ready to be used online by these experts. What's remaining is probably a political decision to say, okay, let's start enforcing it. I want to see all adverts on the newspaper with the class of the building near it, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, this is not easy. The fear is that perhaps certification of buildings will increase the prices of houses of property in Malta. That should not be the case, because it's pretty straightforward exercise. There are over 200 experts, so there is competition in the market, and there will be no chance, in my opinion, that somebody will try and make profit out of the simple buyer or seller.
So it's going to be possible, theoretically, to choose from a number of people who are offering the service and say, you know, will you come and look at my house for the certification? That's going to be the idea.
Indeed. And this is already available on the ministry's website. You can see the names of all those experts who are certified, and you can basically contact them and ask them for a certificate. That entails a visit to the site, comparison of the building to the actual plans, approved plans by MEIPA, and then a certificate would be issued based on the measurements taken. For example, you would need to take the height of the building, the type of walls, types of windows, orientation, and few other things that you have to do on site.
And that certification is going to be something you're going to be paying for?
Definitely. The actual price of the certificate is less than 200 euros, and it is issued and it's valid for 10 years. Therefore, you can have it and you can use it throughout those 10 years. After 10 years, you need to make a new certificate.
Supposing you wanted to improve, you want to improve the situation vis-à-vis your particular house, and you want to do it before certification so that you get a better certificate than you would have, you can go to somebody to give you an assessment of the situation and advice. How does that work?
In fact, that's interesting, because the experts who do the energy certificate are also bound to give you recommendations how you can improve your building.
Now, and can you upgrade the certificate then if you actually do those things?
Definitely you can, and that is the whole scope. From my research, I have realized that on average, a building, a new apartment could have a rating between E and F, which is quite low. Now, from where did I get E and F? Let's put it clear. There is no benchmarking in Malta yet, because there aren't enough certificates available to start deciding that terraced houses are more or less consuming so much energy, and apartments are consuming so much, and penthouses are consuming so much, and therefore when you put all these values on the table, you can classify them, you can make A, B, C, and so on. But my research has concentrated on only four apartments in one block, and it's very limited. However, when I compare these results to other countries, I could somehow foresee where the letters will be placed, and if you make improvements to those buildings, how that letter will jump to a much better rating. And the most important discovery of my research was that and it's logical that a building, an apartment sandwiched between two apartments, that means, let's say, the first floor, will actually have a very good rating. And you have very little chance of improving it, maybe putting some insulation on the facades, but that's very limited because, in general, in Malta, the plots are narrow and long. So if your neighbors are already built up, that means your walls are protected and the only energy losses that you can get for a first floor apartment will be the front and the back. But then I discovered other things that are worth going into. So if you go to an apartment just above the penthouse, the building regulations in Malta, what we call Document F, dictates that the penthouse roof must be insulated. But we forgot that since the penthouse is retracted from the facade, from the road, main road, by at least 3 or 4 meters, that terrace, which belongs to the penthouse, is actually the roof of the floor underneath, and that is not insulated, with the result that the floor under the penthouse is actually many times the worst performer, and not the penthouse. Why not the penthouse? Because many times the penthouse has the advantage of using the roof, putting up a solar heater or a photovoltaic system, and that reflects in a very good energy performance certificate, because you are producing energy from renewable sources.
Perhaps we could talk a little bit about the ways in which people can actually improve their carbon footprint or improve the insulation and that sort of thing, yes, from the practical point of view.
Indeed. In fact, when you look at the software and you do the exercise, you end up with basically 5 different parameters: energy consumed for heating and cooling, energy consumed in lighting, energy consumed for heating water, because that's important for Maltese residences, energy consumed in other appliances, like if you have an extractor fan or a chimney for heating in winter, other electric appliances. And therefore, when you look at these different categories and do the exercise of rating the house, you would realize where is the culprit, where is the area that requires most attention. In my opinion, and from the research that I have just finished, and I'm sure it's not sufficient, but I could see, for example, that double glazing doesn't improve your building so much, but insulation of a wall or of single walls, because, for example, the walls in shafts are all single walls in Malta, so you get a cold bathroom, you get a part of the room, a bedroom which is on the shaft, will be cold in winter. So adding an insulation to those single wall buildings, single walls that are not on the facades, because the facade is a double wall, but at the back, for example, it's a single wall, then that makes a big difference.
What kind of insulations, excuse my ignorance, yes, but what kind of insulation can you put on a single wall?
Yes. Nowadays, there are different products. There is something called cappotto, which is basically insulation made of gypsum and ready-made, covered from outside with a protective layer of paint, which you can just bolt onto your existing wall from the outside. But we, yes, and that is the optimum way of doing it. Why? Because in that case, the wall itself of the building will act as a heat storage. And therefore, you are insulating the building from outside. And therefore, your wall is favoring you. When you heat your room, the wall will heat up, will store that heat, will not lose it. And when you switch off the heater at night, that heat comes back to your room, not to the outside. If you can't do insulation from the outside, you can do it from the inside, although you might lose a bit of the efficiency. But again, from the inside, today there are what we call gypsum boards. They are very quickly and very easily installed on these walls. They also have an added advantage of reducing noise transmission through the walls, and therefore you don't only insulate the house, but you also have a better quality of light. With regards to double glazing, it makes sense if you have very large windows, for example, a villa or a really large penthouse with many facades of made of glass. There, double glazing makes sense. If you are in a small building or an apartment with very small windows, double glazing is really the last to consider. You should consider, for example, changing the bulbs to energy efficient lights. Today we are going even further and we are using diodes. Diode lights are very efficient. They are the technology of the future, but even today we can see them on the market in Malta and they can be used. Diode lights can also be used for street lighting and for many other purposes. Water heating is the culprit, normally in a flat, in our apartments, because it consumes about 20% of the electricity. Here we need to see how the building regulations will change or can be changed to allow integration of solar heating systems on facades, or at least to have communal solar heating systems in a block of apartments, whereby you can have a system of solar panels on the roof, but the hot water really is distributed to all the apartments.
Unfortunately, I knew this was going to be a program where I wanted an hour instead of 26 minutes, and we've run out of time. Is there an independent website where people can get information about this sort of thing?
Yes, on the Ministry's website there is all the information regarding the experts of energy performance of buildings. There are all the regulations and what you should do if you would like to have a certificate. But on our website also, the www.um.edu.mt/ise, you can also find some interesting articles on our research results that we have published, and you can also learn a lot about what has already been done in Malta. In fact, at the end of this month, I'm going to present exactly what I'm talking about today in an international conference in Rhodes. And I will definitely also learn a lot from the other experts who will be present there.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Charles Youssef, for coming on University Matters to talk about your research.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series, University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.